Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induwa Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Welcome to Bible Issues, where we teach you to hear God's voice in the Bible. Whatever your situation, you can find God's direction in His Word. We are Dr. Denver Chidi and Induwa Rampol Chidi.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chidi. I'm reading from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires or lusts, according to the King James Version, and enticed. Then when desire has conceived or lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." The scripture talks about temptations, or the Greek word for temptations could also be translated as trials. So temptations slash trials are an unnecessary evil in the Christian life. It is a known fact that God allows trials in our lives, and according to verse 12, the purpose of that is to approve us or to test us. I wish that God did not do it that way, but that is how God chose to do it. Because sometimes I think, you know, why did God have to put a tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden and then tell Adam and Eve, don't eat from it? And when they ate from it, he was sad and he had to banish them from the garden. He could have just not put the tree. And then we would have all been living without sin in the Garden of Eden in bliss. But that is how God chose to work. God must test His people. He must try them and approve them. Even Jesus had to be approved. He had to go through temptations, trials, and He had to resist every temptation. And that's why the Bible could say, we have a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, for He was tempted in every way, and yet without sin. That "yet without sin" is a crucial element that Jesus needed to prove in order to be the spotless Lamb of God. So even Jesus had to be approved. How much more do we have to be approved? Temptations and trials are like a two-edged sword. On one hand, you have the trial. On the other hand, you have the temptation. We know for a fact that God allows trials. God allowed the devil to try Job. He allowed the devil to bring adversity into Job's life. But at the same time, God is saying, when you fall into temptation, don't blame me, because I don't tempt anyone. I am not tempted by evil, and I don't tempt anyone with evil. We see that God is responsible for the trials, but He is not responsible for the temptations. The trials refer to any adverse situation in our life, whether it be financial, health, family problems, job problems, it doesn't matter. Any adverse circumstance in our life is a trial that God allows. The temptation is how we respond to that trial. So God sends the circumstance, He allows the circumstance, but He does not control our reaction to that circumstance. So when we fall into the temptation, that is, we fail the test, you can't blame God. You could only blame yourself. So it goes on to say, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lusts or desires. Lust or desire is what gives the temptation strength. Lust is what converts a trial into a temptation. That is what makes the difference. Now, whenever we hear the word lust, we automatically think sexual lust, sexual perversion, or something of that sort. But lust does not have to be sexual. It could be that the Bible talks about the loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh. So already we see that there are different types of loss. And there's even a scripture that talks about angels lusting to look into certain things. Even angels have a lust. So lust doesn't even have to be a bad thing. Lust simply means desire. Now, desire for what? It could be a desire for anything. Any desire is a lust. If you have a desire for sexual things, then that's a sexual lust. If you have a desire for material things, then that's a material lust. If you're greedy, that's a lust of the eyes. Lust is any kind of desire. And what ultimately gives temptation strength is the desires that we have on the inside of us. Now, picture this scenario. You take a 4-year-old child, you put them to sit down on a table, and you put a juicy, mouth-watering chocolate cake in front of them, and you tell them, do not eat that cake. You know, there are actually some really funny experiments that were done just like that. And then you have the children on video. They don't know they're on video. And they're eating the cake. Some of them have cake all over their face. And when you ask them, did you eat the cake? No. It is almost impossible for a child in that situation to resist that cake. Now, you put the trial, you put the situation, you put the cake in front of them to test them. You did not control whether they ate that cake or not. What made that decision is the fact that they have a desire inside of them for sweets. So that is what determines whether or not they eat the cake. Now, if you do the same experiment and you put a plate of steamed broccoli, I guarantee you that not one of those children are going to eat that broccoli because they have no desire in them. They have no lust or desire in them for that broccoli. So you see, lust, which exists in us, is what gives strength to temptations. And that is what makes the difference between us passing a trial and being approved by God and us failing the trial and falling into temptation. I'm going to scroll down a little bit to James chapter 4, which talks a little bit more about lust and how they work. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from the desires or lust for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? So that scripture is talking a little more about lust and how it works. Lust is any kind of desire for pleasure that exists in us. Any kind of desire to satisfy our worldly existence. Like I said, it could be sexual, it could be material, it could be anything. Any kind of desires for earthly comforts, earthly pleasures, things of this world that we want. Those are the things that give strength to temptations. Those are the things that turn trials into temptations and cause us to keep falling over and over again. The solution to being able to overcome, to being able to endure trials, to not fall into temptations, has nothing to do with your ability to resist or your ability to say no. It has to do with how strong is the lust for earthly things on the inside of you. That's why Jesus was able to endure trials, because when the devil came, he found nothing in him. There was nothing in Jesus that connected to this world, that held on to this world. Yet, many times with us, we have such a strong desire to find some place in this world, to find some earthly comfort, earthly pleasures. And that is the reason why we keep falling short. You've heard it say, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And that's a very delicate balance every Christian has to face. how do we handle the things of this world? And unless we could get the lust for earthly things out of our lives, we will keep falling into temptations. And the more we fall into temptations, the more we feed that flesh, the stronger it becomes. The more we sow to the flesh, the more we yield to sin, the stronger the lust becomes. Now going back to that chocolate cake, it is said that if you deprive yourself of all sugar and sweets for 3 days, that sweet addiction will go, and suddenly things like chocolate cake that used to tempt you and entice you before no longer have the same effect, that you could actually have chocolate cake in the fridge and forget about it. The same thing is true with any kind of lust. Once you don't feed it, once you don't sow to the flesh or yield your members to sin, as Romans 6 says, they become weaker and weaker and weaker. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So James chapter 4 goes on to give us some tips as to how to deal with the inner desires for things of this world. And again, when I say lust, I don't necessarily mean sexual lust. I mean any kind of desire for the things of this world. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resisting the devil alone is not enough. You have to submit to God first. God says to set your affections on things that are above, not things that are on the earth. Submitting to God means submitting to God's way of seeing things and relinquishing your desire for earthly comforts and earthly pleasures and making yourself a servant, or even, if you wouldn't mind me saying, a slave to God. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will approve you. Submitting to God and humbling ourselves before him means just acknowledging that the desires we have for the things of this world are not of God, and God wants our desires, our true lust, to be for godly things, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. How many of us could truly say we hunger and thirst for righteousness? When your lust is on godly things, there is no such thing as temptation anymore. It doesn't work. The temptation has absolutely no effect, because your desire is to live holy and righteous. I know that sounds like pie in the sky, but it's possible, according to the Bible. And it's the only way to really overcome trials and temptations. It's only then could we resist the devil. It's only then could we resist that chocolate cake when we have no sweet tooth left. Draw near to God, cleanse our hands, cleanse our hearts. It is only when we deal with that inner lust problem. And that only comes by not by human effort, not by human will or willpower. It comes by submitting to God, acknowledging to God, God, I have found myself desiring the things of this world more than the things of God. I confess that to you. I submit to you. Take away my sinful nature. Take away my flesh and help me to walk in the Spirit. And as you do that more and more, as you yield to the Spirit rather than yield to the flesh, you will find that those sinful tendencies, those sinful lusts, will become weaker and weaker, and the temptations will have less and less hold on you. And then you could satisfy what James 1:12 talks about. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life. God bless you. We'll see you next
time. Join us again for our next program. Find us online at BibleIssues.org. Join us also on our Facebook group. To be able to access the group, go to BibleIssues.org, where you will find the link. If you missed any of our broadcasts, you can catch up online at BibleIssues.org. Look for the audio sermons link. God bless you, and hope you join us next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induro Rampal Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.